From NPR News in Washington, I'm Pam Coulter. Cairo is a tale of two cities. Protesters continue to occupy the main square, but around the capital, banks and businesses are reopening and traffic is flowing. Egypt's vice president began meeting with opposition groups today, a process supported by the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton met with NPR's Michelle Kellerman in Munich.
We are putting a lot of effort into making sure that the dialogue process that has begun is meaningful and transparent and leads to concrete actions.
Secretary Clinton is withholding judgment on the decision of the fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood to meet with government officials. Australia is still grappling with wild summer weather. In Sydney, Stuart Cohen reports, the country is still bracing for continued floods on one coast while fighting brush fires on the other.
Two separate bushfires are burning out of control in Australia's western city of Perth. One on the north side of town and one on the south have forced the evacuation of hundreds of people and destroyed dozens of homes. Hot, dry weather and winds of up to 45 miles per hour are making firefighting efforts difficult. Meanwhile, flooding continues on Australia's east coast. Torrential downpours from the remnants of cyclones Anthony and Yasi have given some towns in the state of Victoria their wettest day on record. Others are dealing with their fourth flood in a matter of months. For the first time this season, Australia's second largest city, Melbourne, was also affected by severe flash flooding. Meteorologists have attributed all the wild weather to this year's exceptionally strong La Nina effect in the Pacific. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
Two American hikers held in Iran for a year and a half pleaded not guilty to espionage charges in a closed-door hearing today. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports the third hiker, released on bail last fall, did not return for the court proceedings.
Josh Fatal and Shane Bauer attended the closed hearing and denied that they were spies, according to Iran's English-language Press TV. Fatal, Bauer, and Sarah Shurd said they were hiking in northern Iraq in the summer of 2009 when they were arrested by Iranian authorities who said they had illegally entered Iranian territory. The hikers said they had no intention of entering Iran. Shurd was released on $500,000 bail in September and returned to the U.S. An attorney for the trio said he'd been given written defense information to present to the court on Shurd's behalf. Iranian media gave no date for the next hearing in the case, which has exacerbated tensions between Tehran and Washington. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
With Republicans demanding less federal spending, the Obama administration is poised to make budget cuts. OMB Director Jacob Lew says the White House is making some tough choices. He says money for new programs will mean cuts to other programs. This is NPR. Even though his Chicago Bears were knocked out of the running, President Obama's hosting a big Super Bowl party at the White House tonight. About 100 people are on the guest list, including cabinet members, bipartisan members of Congress, and singers Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez, part owners of the Miami Dolphins. Mr. Obama is also doing a pregame interview with Fox's Bill O'Reilly. Seven men are bound for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. NPR's Mike Pesca reports the list includes four remarkable athletes who all retired in recent years, two older veterans, and a filmmaker.
Shannon Sharpe broke every receiving record for a tight end during his time with the Denver Broncos and Baltimore Ravens. Richard Dent was the key pass-rushing cog in the great Bears defenses of the mid-'80s. For this, they will be in the 2011 Hall of Fame class, along with Deion Sanders and Marshall Faulk. Linebackers Les Richter, who played for the L.A. Rams in the 50s and early 60s, and Chris Hanberger, Redskin of the 60s and 70s, will also be enshrined. Ed Sable is the founder of NFL Films, which documented and glorified the game. He turned the muddied and the bloodied into the majestic and often beautiful. He, too, will have a place in Canton. Mike Pesca, NPR News, Dallas, Texas.
Like to cook with Rachel Ray or the Iron Chefs? Iranians won't be able to. A state-owned news website says the country's broadcasting authority has banned Iranian TV channels from airing cooking shows that feature recipes from foreign cuisine. Some Iranian stations have broadcast shows highlighting French and Italian cooking. The ban is seen as part of a nationalist campaign implemented by the government. I'm Pam Coulter, NPR News in Washington.
Support for